he did was called a preparatory set, in which he had a human being lie down, or usually it was a student, lie down and be attached to electrodes that would deliver a shock whenever a light went on. And then so he would shine the light and then shock the student. And at that point, several people elected to discontinue the experiment. But those who persisted, he would then vary the experiment by showing the light and then not shocking them, or showing the light and shocking them. He would sort of make it unpredictable. And he discovered that people's state of anxiety and fear actually increased when the shock didn't come, when they were just waiting for a shock to come, or when they didn't know if a shock would ever come. And he said it actually created an atmosphere of pervasive fear and anxiety, and he even called it dread or terror.
We have to remind ourselves that we are facing an enemy that is planning all over this world, and it turns out planning inside our country to come here and kill us.
And he said that atmosphere could be ratcheted up progressively the more the experiment continued and the more unpredictable the shocks were, so that after a while, when the shock came, the pain actually was experienced as relief and almost pleasure by the subject. He called it a nervous breakdown, or what he described in another part of the article as the ultimate demoralization of behavior. What he extracted from this experiment was the idea that there was such a thing as a coercive stimulus that could actually be used to create an environment of dread or terror or anxiety from a low to a high level, and that the scientists could actually, it was almost as if they were turning the volume on a stereo, they could decide how much of that atmosphere, how intense they would like it to be.
You're listening to Fakeologist Audio, a periodic audio where I explore the world of media fakery. You can find my blog at fakeologist.com, where you'll find all the links to the live stream and audio archives. You will also find links to my sub-blogs, forums, email, PayPal, Twitter, and YouTube. If you're listening live, add me as a Skype contact, Fakeologist, and call in. Now, here's your host, the Fakeologist, Aberrato. And that was the theme music to The Dating Game. Does anyone remember The Dating Game? I do. That was a show from Chuck Barris, not Chuck Berry, but Chuck Barris. He allegedly died last week, and he was said to be 87, and that seems like a pretty ripe old age, so I don't really expect any too much hokey pokey with that one. Although it is kind of coincidental that most people confuse Chuck Berry with Chuck Barris. I sure as heck did all the time. And therefore, I thought that was rather coincidental, if not suspicious, that they both died in the same week, but none of them are significant to me in my life, so it doesn't really render or doesn't really warrant a fake investigation for me, so I'm not terribly worried about it. Anyway, good evening, everyone. It's March 26, 2017. I'm going to try and be a little more reliable and come out here Sundays at 7 or so, 7:11 maybe, 7:11 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. It is daylight savings times here. Saving time, not savings. Savings are what you put in the bank. Now, I'm not one of the conspiracy theorists or suspicious types to think there's anything mischievous or scary about daylight savings time, just so you know. I see the whole point of it. My idea is that it's to move the 1 hour of daylight that's in the morning and shift it into the afternoon, for the simple reason that most people are more active in the afternoon than they are in the morning, and therefore they're more likely to use electricity, like lights, into the evening hours. And if they put the extra hour of daylight into the evening, then they probably won't use as much electricity. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, electricity-wise. I read somewhere in the media, of course, so take it with a huge grain of rock salt, that we're using more electricity. But it does actually make sense to me that to shift the extra hour into the evening to save power. Now, is saving power a worthwhile venture when power is probably fairly cheap and unlimited in many senses? And power, I think, including electricity, is just another way to control people. I don't know. Okay, the point of tonight's broadcast, and I do have a guest tonight. I'm going to bring him in a minute as soon as I gab a few words out. And I just want to review the blog. I haven't reviewed it in a long time. And that is one of the things that I always wanted to do. But sometimes I just lose motivation. I'm just a regular bloke, as I've often said. And when I'm laying on the couch, it's even hard to get up off the couch after a hard work day. And I do work many weekends to come here and sit in front of the mic. Now, when I have someone to talk to, it's a little different. Or if I'm driving, at least I have an excuse to talk and just to kill time and kill the miles. But I want to shout out to all the people that do regular shows, including Hoaxbusters that I listen to, and yeah, even the gatekeeping operation of the No Agenda show. It does take a lot of effort to step up to the mic and talk every single week. And recently I was on the Humble and Fred show, another podcast that I listen to, and you have to give these guys credit for coming out. They come out every day for 2 hours, and they try and make a living off it. So I really give credit for people that can speak into the mic every day and be somewhat interesting. It is a job, a J-O-B. It is a lot of work. Even talking for an hour burns a lot of calories, and it's just a lot of work to think on your feet. And those that dare go live, and I'm going live today over Fakeologist Radio 2, and I'll explain that in a minute, that also adds another level of intensity where you have to pay a little more attention to what you're doing. So a big shout out to all those that do radio broadcasts. And another big shout out to those that do YouTubes almost every day. And YouTube is even more complicated. Takes more work. You're putting images, you're syncing them to audio. That's a lot of work too. Now, the guys that do 2 and 3 a day, I don't know how you do it. You can't be earning a living doing it probably from YouTube, number one. Number two, you can't have a regular job and feed yourself and maintain yourself. That also seems impossible. So I don't know how you guys do it. A lot of my regular YouTubes that I post on fakeologist.com and my new sublog, which I'll describe in a minute, egi.fakeologist.com. I don't know how you guys do it. Again, it's a ton of work. And either you guys are being paid by another entity or you're just really dedicated to do it day in and day out. And at the beginning, I think Tom mentioned in the fakeologist.com/chat that he heard Zach Hubbard. That guy pumps out a ton of info. Now, it's very repetitive, and he does go around in circles half the time. But there is something to the numerology in that the people that rule over us do worship it, and they are doing it to spite the religious people in our world. So they also are just a big shout out to Zach. I don't know how you can do it. It's just a ton of work. And congratulations for doing it. I enjoy most of it most of the time. But I don't know how you can maintain. I really don't. Especially without compensation. I go to work because I get paid. I couldn't do a job daily and not get paid. Especially if I'm constantly getting negative feedback. If I was getting negative feedback daily in the comments on YouTube, which is a medium you don't even control, I don't know how I couldn't go on. And Zach's been doing it for so many years now. I never thought he'd be doing it daily year after year. I don't know how he can do it either, how he does it. I hope he's being paid by somebody, because otherwise it seems like if he's doing it for humanity, well, I don't think humanity cares. And I don't think most of humanity is paying attention. And the guys that are paying attention, like myself, they don't really care after a while. It wears off. We need fresh stuff. And I know he reads the news every day, which is great. And I actually get a lot of news through him because I don't listen to the mainstream media. But again, man, the payoff is just not there. I don't know how you do it. Again, I go to work every day. I've been going to work for a long time. And it's hard to get out of bed sometimes, even though I know I get paid. Because you just to get the motivation. Getting back to my streams. Now, I used to have three streams. I paid for all of them, different amounts based on promotion. I had Fakeologist Radio 1, Radio 2, Radio 3. Radio 1 was just repeating today's weekly broadcast. And I don't think too many people were listening live on the replay. They weren't listening to the replay too often. Radio 2 was just audios that I ripped from YouTube mostly, and I just played on loop, and I usually had about 100 a week. I don't think anyone was listening to that either. Radio 3 is the audio chat, and that's been pretty quiet as well. So I've decided not to renew Radio 1, which is costing quite a bit of money. And as soon as I decide to cancel it, they offered me half price. But even at half price, I don't think I'm going to renew it because I don't think anyone's listening. So I'm not going to probably renew that. So Radio 2 is going to become Radio 1 shortly, I think. Unless I just leave it Radio 2. And Radio 2 is where I'll come on for the live broadcast and I'll just replay this show and other shows of interest. So anyone wants to listen, go to Radio 2. Now, my whole idea about streaming audio is I thought that most cars would come with internet connections. And I heard from, I think, Syopticom a few years ago that for $5 a month, you could get a radio connection, an internet radio connection to your car radio. We don't have that in Canada. We have to pay, you'd have to pay a regular, at the minimum, $15 a month for a data SIM. And they're not really promoted at all. So I don't think that's really an option. But my idea was that the streaming radio stations that anyone can start up themselves would be predominant and there would be unlimited radio on your car. But it looks like the Sirius simulated satellite radio is the main alternative in cars, other than people driving around with white earphones in their ears. I do a lot of driving, as you know, and when I look in other cars, everyone's driving around with earbuds in their ears, presumably attached to their phones. So they're not even using their car radios, I don't think. Now, it's easy to stream your phone to your Bluetooth on even the cheapest car radio. You can buy a car radio for $25 with Bluetooth and at least have some decent audio and volume coming through, but I don't think people even do that. They're too lazy to even just come in and pair their phone with their car audio. So again, I don't think streaming internet through your phone or through a dedicated SIM card in your car or vehicle, I don't think it's happening right now. So I don't know if I'm on the cutting edge or I'm just on a technology spur that's going nowhere. But that was the whole idea behind having a couple streaming audios or three streaming audios. So I'm going to just reduce it to two for now and see what happens and see if there's any blowback. So far, I haven't heard a thing from anybody. That means that nobody really cares. So now I'm going to grab a line from another blog or podcast I like a lot called The Infectious Myth with David Crow. And he says the only way he knows that you're listening is if you write him back, write him an email or click the donate button. So I do have a couple people donating on a regular basis. And thank you so much. And if you don't want your name put up on the fakeologist.com site to say you're a donor, I won't do it. But I have a couple people. And thanks a lot. That's not the point of the blog, but if you don't want to donate, just send me an email saying you're listening. Because even the No Agenda show says that just because someone downloads the show doesn't mean they're listening, especially if it's a podcaster program that automatically downloads the show. I know I download 100 shows a night automatically, and I probably listen to two or three. So they might think that that download is worth something to them, but in my case, it's not worth anything because I don't even listen. I just keep my phone keeps updating the podcast and replacing the old with the new. So really, the truthful, honest way that you can tell if someone's listening is if they send you money or if they just drop you an email, say, hey, I listened, or drop a comment on the blog is even better. Say, hey, I listened. So even if you don't have anything to say about the podcast, if you just give it a thumbs up, log into my website, give it a thumbs up, or just say I listened, that would be fine. That would be enough for me. And that would be a better indicator of even downloads, because No Agenda Show is right. A download means nothing. It really doesn't. Even a YouTube view count doesn't mean much. But if you say you listen to it, that would be cool. So I'm going to borrow that line from The Infectious Myth, which is a blog that I often post, or it's a podcast I often post on another one of my sublogs, moreab.fakeologist.com, which is non-flat earth, ball earth, non-save chat, non-elite gendered inversion, transvestigation. That's non-everything except those things, or non-9/11. If you look on the blog, fakeologist.com, all the links are on the top. And on the right, I have a list of my sub-blogs. I'll go through them real quick because I know a lot of people don't read and just want to hear. So the latest sub-blog is Elite Generation. I shouldn't say so. Slap myself. I hate people that say so in the beginning of the sentence. The latest sub-blog that I've posted on fakeologist.com is called Elite Gender Inversion, or EGI.fakeologist.com. That's where I put my latest interest, which is looking into this androgynous or this transgendered group that are, I think, it's a real thing. I think it has been a real thing for a long time, but I think recently it's not only are the elite, or the network, or the governors, are they telling us this? But they're actually shoving them right in front of our face and mocking us by not really telling us. But as well, they're pushing the transgender agenda, the transgender, as I can like to contract it, in our face all the time. And they're putting it in the schools. I have firsthand accounts of that. And it's in the media all the time. They're just trying to make it an acceptable alternative to what now, we have all this new terminology, what are now the binary genders or sexes. They don't even use the word sex anymore. We know there's two sexes in the animal kingdom, male and female. And then they replace the word sex with gender. And now we have all kinds of, we have the extreme genders, male and female, and we have the in-betweens where people don't have to identify with their assigned gender. That's the latest terminology. When you're born, you're assigned a gender. Usually when you're assigned something, it's in phys ed class where they assign you a piece of gym equipment and they sign you out with it and you have to bring it back. Otherwise, they charge you. So this whole language that they're inventing around the gender bender, EGI, transvestigation, is just bizarre. And to me, it's offensive. And it's not real as well, in the sense that you don't get to choose your gender. Yeah, we have medical technology where you can play around with it, but I think it's just wrong. It's completely wrong. And I don't understand it totally, but as I learn more about it, I just can't believe it, to be honest with you. Okay. Anytime I need to take a breath, I'm going to play my Charlie Brown music so you know I'm still here. And I'm going to dial in somebody else so that way in the middle of talking. I can let someone else do the talking. I might have to get some water, too. Get my junior fakeologist to get me some.
Well, hey, Ab.
Hello.
Ab, let me just... hey, dude. Let me say goodbye to my friend on Discord.
Well,
TJ, I'll talk to you later, dude.
Goodbye, TJ. Thanks. Thanks for calling in. Discord. What's Discord, Dan? Now, welcome to the Fakeologist Show. You are on a live broadcast going around the world. You're on Fakeologist Radio.
Hello to the five people that are listening to
How
us.
How dare you?
Thank you for listening.
It's 10.
Yeah, so...
Fakeologist Radio 162, or broadcast 162.
Yeah.
I think we have a few. I'm looking at the live listener report. You're right. Actually, you're right. We have Australia, Ireland, Port Glasgow in the UK, and Neepawa, Manitoba. Neepawa. Where the hell is that? I'm going to look it up.
That sounds like Eskimo country.
Well, everywhere here is Eskimo country. Neepawa
is a
town in Manitoba, Canada, located on the Yellowhead Highway. Population 3629. And the town was founded in 1883. Mm. And it's warmer there than it is here. It's 7 degrees C. Mm. Okay, I'm going to zoom out on the old Google Maps, because it doesn't look like it's anywhere. Mm. Where is it here? Okay. It's sort of halfway between the Saskatchewan border and Winnipeg. I think that's my friend Wade. Wade might be there, the farmer.
Mm.
He's probably getting ready to go farming. So, Wade, if you're listening, you can call in if you want as well. I haven't heard from you in a couple of years.
You've got snazzy jazz music going on in the background.
Yeah, let me kill that off. I'm just going to play the jazz music whenever I need to take a breath. And now that I have you on the line, you can maybe help fill the air. But tonight's broadcast, I'm just going through the blog, and I want to discuss a little bit some of the blog posts in my last week. I had an exciting week this week, Dan.
Cool.
I don't know if you heard.
I did not.
I got myself invited to a regular podcast, a live radio show on Sirius Simulated Satellite Radio.
Mm. Sirius Simulated.
Well, that's what I call
it. Well put.
I was on the Humble and Fred show, which is a daily Toronto show. They do a daily show. They actually make money talking for 2 hours a day. I've been poking. Well, I had Humble Howard, his pseudonym is Humble Howard, on my broadcast a couple years ago because he had mentioned 9/11, so I wanted to see if he seen September Clues.
Mm-hmm.
And he gave me 15 minutes a couple of years ago, and I didn't really make any progress with him regarding 9/11. But I've been poking him ever since because I do listen to a show every day, and every time he mentions something that I think is fake, I usually tweet to him. And if anyone wants to tweet to him, @HumbleFredRadio. We can't hear your guest. Oh, for God's sakes, what the hell's going on? We can't hear you, Dan. Let me just put on the music while you talk to me.
Me. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Oh, okay.
Let's just double check here.
You're always catching me when I'm half asleep, dude.
What are you doing half asleep?
You know, it's 8:30 in the morning in Korea. That's why.
Check the Skype audio. Probably change the audio.
Why did you switch from TeamSpeak to Skype?
Well, I use both.
Mm. Yeah, I was using. I was talking to a friend in Washington State on Discord. I've been trying to get everyone to switch to Discord unsuccessfully.
Yeah. What is Discord?
It's a chat for gamers. I'm kind of a part-time gamer. And it doesn't have to be for gamers, you know.
Okay.
You could for anything.
Let me shut down Skype for a minute. Give me a minute.
Yep.
Damn thing. This is what Chris does on his show, and I think it's a good thing. Let's say hi to the great listenership in the chat. We have someone with John LeBond's logo in there. We got TomD27. I think that's Tom Delpra. He also changed his handle on Chat Tango. We had Delqua. He was hitting me up on Skype. Nice to hear from Delqua again.
Yeah. Him, I haven't talked to Del in a long time.
Yeah, great to hear. He's got some mega chats on the live stream on YouTube, but they're just a little too long for me. But so I heard him. So let's get back to what I was talking about. And let me get back to fakeologist.com, if you don't mind, and then we can talk about some things you might want to talk about.
Sure.
So the latest thing I've been looking into is elite gender inversion, Dan. And I don't know what your take is on it, but there is something to it. And I know that the people have been talking about it for years, Jungle Surfer. But now that I have watched a couple people actually take a picture of what I assume is a real picture of some of these celebutards, and you have to be skeptical as well about the actual pictures they're using, but let's just call them, take them at face value right now. And pointing out some curves that don't belong and some other things that are anomalous, I'm getting sucked into it. Now, is this another flat Earth thing that I'm falling into?
I don't think so. I think there's truth there. I mean, years ago, I saw a video that outed Michelle Obama as a dude, and since then I have been aware of it.
So you saw on the Ellen show with her ding-a-ling flapping around?
Yeah, and it was quite funny. It just doesn't, you know, for me, it's like just before you and I, just before you called me, I was talking on Discord with my friend, and I said one of Ab's favorite issues is transgenderism, like the ring fingers and the hairlines and the jawlines and the taper in the abdomen. And it's funny, you know, when you put all those things together, you know, all of a sudden Jennifer Aniston is a man. Jennifer Aniston. Yeah. And then
let me give the list, because you gave some fairly, I would call them debatable ones that these guys keep going through. But let me give the list from John Humanity here. Here we go here. Square jaw from side, jaw being wide from front. We've got brow bossing, which I've never heard of before. Brow bossing, B-O-S-S-I-N-G, and setback eyes. These are the differences, by the way, between male and female. I think this is the list of male features, actually. So square jaw, brow bossing, setback eyes, and eyes that are rather fall farther apart. Female eyes seem to be closer together. Sloping back forehead for a man. High, wide cheekbones. Large ears. Okay, width of the eyes. I think he meant the width between the eyes. Okay. A widow's peak. That's a pretty minor one to me. Adam's apple. That's a little more obvious for most people. The neck width. So the neck on a man is the width of the head usually, where a female neck is narrower. Shoulder shape and proportion, because they are done prepubescent, so they don't get the full wide shoulders, but they are square. So male shoulders are square and wide, and the shoulders are wider than the hips usually. The size of the rib cage. Now that one's a little harder to tell for most people, but obviously a male rib cage is larger. Okay. And what else we got here? Shoulder to hip ratio. So the shoulder is wider on a man compared to his hips, whereas a woman's hips are wider than the shoulders. Hip indentation in comparison to navel. So the hip indentation on a female is way above the navel.
Mm-hmm.
Hip proportion to shoulder. I think we just mentioned that. Fat distribution at the thighs. Okay, obviously there's way more fat on a woman's thighs than a man. Straight up and down body contour. Okay. And that's in regards to the hips and the waist, I guess, mainly. And also it might be part of the Q angle. The Q angle is the angle of the pelvis that femur bone runs to knee joint. So the angle that the femur bone runs from the knee to the pelvis is at an angle, a greater angle in a female than a male, since the female pelvis is wider because of to allow for childbirth.
Mm.
And the last tell that he was talking about in our talk, Fakeologist 160, is men and women move differently, especially when dancing. It's undeniable when you watch a real woman move or dance versus a man. So that's pretty interesting.
That's an interesting thought.
Yeah, and he was bringing up Robin Williams, who, of course, most of us identify as a man. That guy was huge up top. He was as hairy as a gorilla. But he certainly, when you looked at some of the dancing moves, when he was wearing the tights with Billy Crystal, John said he danced like a woman. I don't know. Can you inject testosterone at such a level where you've got hair coming down your chest all the way to your knees? I don't know. But anyway, that's...
I don't know.
Men and women have all those features, but to varying degrees. Yeah. But when you go through the checklist and you're hitting every box with certain people, that to me is a little more conclusive. What say you?
Well, I just listened to John Humanity on Renegade. One of the guys over at Renegade just interviewed him. I don't know if you're aware
of that. Yeah, I heard
that.
I didn't like that too much. It wasn't that great an interview. Yeah. John didn't like
it
either.
He had a meltdown. One of the callers called in and asked him if he was gay, and he had a meltdown.
Did you think his answer was reasonable?
Evasive? No, it was evasive.
It was evasive, but I thought it was reasonable. Mm. It was a reasonable answer. But, yeah, it's evasive. And my wife says the same thing, Mrs. Fakeologist. She said,
yeah.
You can't help but notice that it's a very effeminate voice.
He has a lisp. I don't deny people their sexuality. I don't, it doesn't matter to me if people are trans or gay or straight, or it doesn't, I just don't really care about those things. It didn't bother me, but it did. I did notice it, that he sounded effeminate, which to me was ironic, but I listen to what people say, and I listen to their, to the content of what they say, and I just try and evaluate their observations. I don't judge people one way or the other. But I thought that the information he's giving was very interesting. The fact that he got so defensive over his own sexuality, I thought was humorous. Because if it were me, I would have just said yay or nay, yes, I am. No, I'm not. My voice is my voice, but he has to admit how ironic, like he's talking about, gender bending. And yet his own voice sounds effeminate. It was just ironic, and for him to not have a sense of humor about his own irony, I thought was, and then he had a meltdown after that, and I thought that was very revealing.
I agree. I thought his explanation on genders and just to defend himself, I thought was reasonable. I don't have to tell you my sexuality either, because it is fairly private, and you can have an effeminate voice, you can have a singer's voice, and not behave in a homosexual way. And I still go back to, I think sexuality is a behavior. We're not born with it. We don't have a gay gene or anything like that. It's just what we decide. It's what we choose. Some guys like tall, skinny, or some guys like fat chick. Some guys like brown, dark, black. I don't know. Everyone has their behavior that gives them pleasure and hopefully peace at the same time.
I give people a lot of leeway. I've almost got a master's degree in psychology. If I can't give people leeway, then I should just turn in my degree.
I have a master's degree in fakery.
Yeah, in fakery. You're not a PhD. I always call you Professor Ab. I thought you had a PhD.
Aren't you kind?
Yeah,
that's very kind of you. Can I get back to...
Yeah,
sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, you've taught me many things. And
okay, let me get back to what I was saying earlier. And I'm sorry, I'm going to cut all that crap out. Sorry about that little break, guys. I should reboot my Windows, D-O-Z-E, computer before I do these things. But it was actually one little program, a little recording program that was bringing the whole thing down. So I had too many things recording at the same time. Actually, that would have been three recorders at once. Maybe that was it. A little too much for the processor. Okay, the highlight of my week is on my way home Tuesday, I got a Twitter direct message. Don't you just hate all the ways that you can communicate? A Twitter direct message. Come on. Can you just send me an email or phone me? But anyway, I got a Twitter direct message. I'm trying to reply. I'm on Canada's busiest highway. And I got invited to the Humble and Fred show. And they have a broadcast 2 hours every morning. It's Canada's talk show and on Sirius Simulated Satellite Radio. So I made it. And here's the beginning. So I decided to go on because I've been going back and forth with Howard. So he invited me on, and I decided to go in. It got me a little excited, a little nervous, but I figured I've been talking about this long enough, so I was more worried that I just wouldn't get a word in edgewise because it's a co-hosted show. There's two of them bantering back and forth. And the guest, when I listen, usually doesn't get too many words in before he gets cut off. So I was worried I was going to get steamrolled. But I lasted about 52 minutes out of a two-hour show, which I thought was pretty good. That's over three segments, and I consider a segment 15 minutes. And normally guests don't last more than one segment because they're either boring or they have other things to talk about. But I would guess it's normally because people are boring. And on a variety show, if you're not interesting, they can't leave a boring guest on for too long because they'll lose their audience. So if you keep switching up, then at least the audience will stick around for the next topic. So I lasted over three segments, so I think I did pretty well.
You're an interesting guy to listen to, dude.
Oh, bless your heart.
I've listened to you speak many, many times. So.
Well, I think I'm interesting, but that's just talking to myself. I'm not sure I'm interesting to others, but I appreciate all the way over there in South Korea there. But hey, I clipped the show. I clipped it down to, how many minutes is this? Let's load this thing here. Is this going to load? I clipped it down. I'm not going to play it all right now. I'll just play a bit of it. But I did... what did I do? I did invite people to call in. I put their call-in number, which I thought was a good idea. And I did get old friend Uninstall Media to call in. I didn't ask him to call in. I was surprised. I didn't know what his real name was. So when he said his real name, because he went right onto the air, and he was a little surprised. He figured there'd be a call screener, but... The Hummel and Fred show was just two guys. They don't have a call screener.
Neither.
So he got dumped right on the air. Here, listen to it start up.
And don't forget today, in the next 20 minutes, we're going to talk about EGI investigating and all these celebrities that are actually men. Hi, who's this?
Hello?
Hello.
That's what I mean. Yeah, the guy thought he was calling in just to the hold line, but he got on right through. Is he coming through okay?
I can hear him.
Tim there, fakeologist.
Oh, Tim. Oh,
really?
Tim's got his own fans. What's your name?
This is James from Wisconsin. I'm practically Canadian.
Well, because, you know, right, we are Wisconsin's favorite morning show. You get that, right?
Absolutely. I mean, I've never heard of you before, but I'd like to say that I grew up listening to this show. And
I love that. I love his line. James, Uninstall was great because he was caught off guard. I thought he was great. Yeah. And I was sitting on the couch. I couldn't hear him. I could not hear him. So I was sitting on the couch. I didn't have headphones.
You know, being just south of Lake Superior, I feel like I should be Canadian, although we're not necessarily under the Queen's rule. So I'm not sure how that really works out, but
we're not really under the Queen's rule either. But what the hell?
And that was funny because someone made a comment. Well, the show's address is the Queensway. How could you say we're not under the Queen's rule? Yeah. We're on the Queen's Way, and the highway next door is the Queen Elizabeth Way.
Yeah, any Canadian that doesn't realize they're under the Queen's rule is asleep.
Oh, my.
What's your connected to Fakeologist?
I think he's a fan of Tim, because Tim, I'm a Fakeologist, has an actual podcast.
Yeah, you better explain that.
That discusses conspiracies. All and right. This fellow, what's your name again?
James.
James, is he a fan of yours?
Yes. He must be. The guy called all the way from... So you must have put it on your website or something that you were here today? Right. Okay.
So, James, you're not listening to us on SiriusXM, though, are you?
No.
Okay, well, let's get Tim in here. Maybe James will ask him his question, and that'll be our starting point for this crazy shit that Tim's up to. What's up, Timmy?
Hey, how are you?
All right, pal. There's Tim. I'm a Fakeologist. It's been somebody that I've been involved with for some time now. Because
hey, I think I got an old friend on the line. Are you on the line there, old friend?
I am.
Hey, everybody.
How you been?
Just Vidir on the line. Little golf clap.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Vidir. Say hello. Hi to Dan from Korea.
Hey, Dan from Korea.
Hey.
Do you remember Vidir Dan or Dan Vidir or Vidir Dan?
I think I might have heard him in a conversation, but I don't quite recall.
You know, I've done podcasts with O'Hallahan, so I don't know. It's sort of my claim to fame.
Well, a pleasure to make your introduction to each other. How you been, Vidir? Oh. Share anything you want. I haven't talked to you in a couple of years.
Has it been a couple of years?
I think so.
Probably been about a year. I guess it's been a while, huh?
Yeah.
I've just been so busy. So busy.
All right.
Work has changed, and home life has changed, and just have had one adventure after another. It's all good.
Are you still a Fakeologist, though? That's all that matters.
Oh, I think once you see it, you can't go back.
Yes, you can't unsee it, huh?
But you know what? I do find that psychology is great in understanding why they do what they do, and I think I just understand how to treat people better as far as not trying to burst their bubble, because everybody has their own reality bubble, right?
I like Scott Adams' line, who created Dilbert. He said everyone's playing their own movie in their head.
Exactly. And I like to ask questions. I find that I don't, you know, when you said, I think your topic was that you're going to talk about the week's events, I don't really follow the news. And I find it's more interesting when I can just ask people, oh, what's happening? And then that way I don't have that look on my face like, really? Like, I'll ask questions. And but I do find my, what's the word, the... your sensitivity to fakery, I find that it's on high. I can see a lot more, especially when your emotions aren't involved. You can see a lot more of the picture and the manipulation. So that way I don't get too involved in the story. I might read about it after somebody brings it up. No, I very rarely do I do that. I just... I see it as this huge distraction. I think I turned the television on this morning and they were talking about how they never passed Obamacare or something like that. And it
Trump
just seems so fake. You know, the comments from the fake president and, it's just stupid. It really was a waste of people's time, I think. The powers that be spent all that money and time trying to make everybody happy, and then they're going to rip it all down. They they work for the same people. So I don't,
I get my news filtered from the No Agenda show, which isn't necessarily a great thing, but it's still better than probably getting it head on. And I read Google News, just quickly flash by it. But I like Scott Adams' take on it, which I posted probably at morab.fakeologist.com, which is more political and not fakeology. The sublog.
I enjoy watching the news through people. I like seeing how they're affected, because then you get the real, what the whole motivation of the story is.
yeah.
to see people and their yeah. emotions yeah. so high, and the conversations that go back and forth, and you could see them like chickens going, you know, running around with their heads cut off and just all excited about the topic and really getting nowhere. But you can see what their motivation was with the story by how everybody react to it. So.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's interesting. Yeah, but Scott's take was that this was a way for Donald Trump to replace the idea that he's Hitler with now he's incompetent. So they everything happens for a reason. So now he's lost his Hitler mantle, and now he's Mr. Incompetent. And when he does put something through, it'll replace the perception of who he is one more time.
So right.
All these things are orchestrated. I thought it was as good as an excuse, or good as an explanation as any. But overall, I'm not too worried because we have our highly taxed but paid for healthcare here, and I just try and eat well and try and stay out of the system anyway, which is probably a good thing. But I don't know if you heard this week. I made it on the mainstream radio. I was on Sirius Simulated Satellite Radio this week.
Oh, really? How did that happen?
Well, I'll give you a little explanation. I won't go too deep because I did explain it earlier before you came on. But I had a talk show host named Humble Howard on my broadcast a couple of years ago. I got 15 minutes out of him. And that's on fakeologist.com/radio. You can look at the archives and dig it up if you wanted to. But I listen to his show every day. It's a two-hour show, Canada's national talk show on Sirius Simulated Satellite Radio. And I've been poking him all the time about any time he brings up a real news event, I'll just point him to the blog or whatnot. He doesn't usually probably follow up on it, but eventually I got to him, I guess. So he decided to have me in to talk.
Wow.
So I got in on the show. I got invited. So he said, "Can you come in tomorrow?" And I wasn't busy in the morning, so usually I'm busy. But I said, yeah, sure, why not?
Oh, how exciting.
Yeah. So I just started playing it. I'll play a little bit more for you to listen to. And I told anyone that was listening to Fakeologist to call in to the show. I gave the phone number to the show. And Uninstall Media called in. And he got right through because they don't have call screeners. And he just got dumped live on the air. So here he is.
We're having an affair.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. We already went past the thing, but this is me just starting out on the show. I'll play a little bit so you can listen.
My exciting and my interest in the all things conspiracy. Please welcome to this program. You have your whole name. You mind if I give your name?
Go ahead.
Tim Gordon, everybody. Yeah. Timmy.
Thank you. Can I clap? Is this coming through?
James, what's your question? Why don't we start with James's question for I'm a Fakeologist. What's your question?
Well, yeah, Tim knows me. I've talked to him several times on his...
Oh, hi, James. I didn't know your real name. You are, what's your pseudonym?
Uninstall Media.
Uninstall Media. So hey, how are you?
Yeah, yeah.
What would your question for Tim be?
Well, my question is that his website deals with... what we could call fake news, and that fake news is now a thing because Donald Trump talks about it.
Yeah.
And, of course, you know, everything that goes against Donald Trump, he classifies as fake news. Any story that comes out in the media that's against his platform and what he's doing, he'll just say it's fake news.
Sure.
But
Donald Trump will say that, not me. Yeah, to be clear.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but Tim's been looking at, you know, how the media is used to propagate stories, which may or may not be true. And it's just interesting now that this term fake news is in the mainstream lexicon.
Yeah.
So, you know, anything, you know, his take on that.
Donald Trump is the worst thing that happened to fakeology because he's taken the word fakery and fake news, what we were trying to achieve with the word fakeologist, and taken it and meant everything that he disagrees with. So in a way, he's co-opted the fakeologist word, and I coined the fakeologist word mainly because it's a word that most people didn't associate with anything, no preconceived notions like conspiracy theorists, which was a phrase that was given to us. So I use the word fakeologist so people say, what's a fakeologist? And my answer would be quickly, anything that's a study of media fakery, where fake stories are put in the news and people believe them. And unfortunately, Donald Trump has come along and taken the word fake news to mean anything that he's opposed to. So he hasn't really helped the fakeologist lexicon in any way. But I know what you're saying, uninstall.
Hey, James, we got to run, and you can hear the rest of this if you download the Humble and Fred Show. You don't need satellite radio, although we encourage all to subscribe.
Yes.
HumbleandFredRadio.com. Thank you, my friend.
Yeah, and I just want to say that I think Norm MacDonald is one of the greatest Canadians alive today.
And he's one of the fathers of Confederation as well.
We love Norm MacDonald here.
It's funny, I laugh at the same joke a second time when I'm listening to the recording. Oh, man. So that's a little bit of it, Vidair. What do you think? Vidair dropped off, I guess.
But, no, I'm still here. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
I had to switch my headset.
Could you hear that?
Yeah.
Anyway, if you go to humbleandfredradio.com or to go to fakeologist.com, you can download the rest of that. And
I'll have
listen.
To go and take a look.
Yeah, listen. It's good stuff, if I do say so myself. And let me play some of the... I got some reaction, too, on the next day. I'll just play a bit of that. I clipped it. It's only a couple minutes.
That's an interesting show on the heels of the fakeologist who...
This was the next day.
Appeared at with mixed reviews yesterday.
I'm glad you brought that up because I wanted to mention that, you know, that... Mm-hmm. Anyway, we'll get to Jennifer. She's going to be calling us around 8 o'clock Eastern time.
By the way, the show, I don't think they get much reaction. I got 12 minutes of reaction the next day, which I thought was pretty good. And I hope you guys forgive me for blowing my own horn, but no one else is blowing it, so I just...
Someone's going to blow it. Might as well be you.
Yeah, here.
More an hour into the show or so. A lot of reaction yesterday, which
is
good.
Reaction's good. Oh, yeah.
I'm not afraid of reaction. Neither are you.
No, react. React, please. We like reaction. But,
Here's another thing. I think I usually listen to their show at 1.45 times, and to listen to them talk at normal speed was a little torturous. And I'm... And you can hear all the pauses and whatnot. So, and I just saw John LeBron. John LeBron listens to me at 1.45. How dare you? And I'm going to speak really fast, John, so it'll really screw up your recording now. Anyway, so these guys, they did talk pretty slowly. And one of the problems I had is because it's a duo show, it's a co-hosted show, I'm supposed to speak third. And I'm not used to speaking third. Now, Humble is the guy driving the show. He's the MC, and then you have to wait for Fred to kick in. He's a little slower on the uptake. So every time he paused to breathe, I usually cut in. And many times during the show, Humble would put his hand up and say, "Don't talk." So just these are a few of the things you can't see. And you can tell Fred's a little slower to react, which is fine. He's a little older.
Yesterday and this today. It's very interesting. It just goes to show you the Hummel and Fred show. It's a roller coaster of enlightenment. It is. We cover it all, don't we? Huh?
Well, yeah, reaction. We got quite a bit of feedback.
Feed?
Feed.
I had, I don't even
Not know, all of it was but, good.
Oh, no.
Almost, I would say more mixed than, and anti than four, but still, I loved it because reaction's reaction, my friend.
Well, no, and I get it because it seemed that the reaction was sort of how I felt, and I think I made that clear, just sort of aggravating. It's like, it's not that you discount the stuff. You know there's something going on, but to think about it is aggravating because there's nothing you can do about it, so why worry about it? Type emotion, you know?
Yes, I agree with
what
you just said.
There's nothing you can do about it, so why worry about it?
Yeah. What do you think about that?
Roller coaster of enlightenment.
What do you think about that, Vidair? Is that your reaction to telling people about this stuff in real life?
My reaction, how? I'm sorry, I was having a hard time following what you were What was that conversation?
Well, this is the blowback show. This is the next day. The two boys got sat down and started talking about the show, saying they got lots of reaction. It was all negative. And they get aggravated talking about it. And they get aggravated listening to it. Is that? Do you think that's the reaction you get when you talk to other people about this stuff? People get aggravated?
Yeah, because it threatens their paradigm. You know, you don't talk to people about that stuff. If they come and ask questions, a lot of times people will come and ask me, so what do you think of that? And I don't really push my paradigm on other people. And, you know, they do what they do because they know how we're built. They know that we're, again, the herd animals, and we don't like to be apart from. And, you know, most people will believe something they don't even believe just because they don't want to be on their own.
I like that.
That's
an
interesting way to look at it.
It's the truth.
I agree with that opinion.
And that's why they put the polls on the news or the television shows, because 73% of people will adjust their viewpoint to be with the majority because they don't want to be outside the herd. And
I like that. Yeah, that's totally right.
Yeah, so I think there's a lot of psychology that goes with this, and they know that. And that's why when you're trying to, because, you know, we're on a different path too. And people, you know, for all the research and it's trauma that we went through when we discovered the betrayal of our government and our world with us. That's why we went on that binge of news gathering, trying to figure out why is this like this? Why is this happening? How can they be telling us that, you know, this is, how come people aren't talking about this? And it's like, we probably have a few degrees in the study of how they manipulate man and social engineering, and they can't catch up to where we're at, because we, with our OCD kind of behaviors, who find ourselves way out at this end of nowhere, you know, they'll never catch up to where we're at. And to ask them to jump over the ocean to get to our little island is not very, it doesn't make sense. And, you know, we just have to understand that some people can never get to where we're at, and we just have to have empathy that, you know, they have to live in their fear, and they have to live in the insanity. And
I totally agree with what you just said.
I've had conversations with my mother, and she has said, you know, we got to stop talking about this, because I'm starting to feel really sick here. And I can't. So it's like she knows that what I'm saying is valid. You know, she knows that I have, you know, a good sense of what's happening. And with everything else, she finds me to be a very intelligent person. But yet, with that, she can't go where I'm at. And I respect that. So there was a movie that I watched. I think it was, what's it called? Collateral Beauty, where it's the story with Will Smith, where his business partners, because he dealt with the loss of his daughter, his business partners either want to make him, you know, crazy, or they want to bring him out of his craziness or his trauma that he's dealing with. And the one guy's talking about his mother and how she's got dementia, and she starts talking about all this craziness. And he said, you know, when I sit down with her and she would talk, and I would get upset and she would get upset, and it would get nowhere. And he said, you know, I just found that when I ad lib with her craziness, that we both have a really good time, and she doesn't get upset and I don't get upset. And that really struck a chord with me. I just think that if we just play along with their insanity or ask questions, then nobody gets upset. We don't have to try and talk them out of their enslavery or their little camp of fear. And, you know, we don't have to, you know, pull our hair out and feel like crazy people trying to make sense, you know, to them, because no matter how much sense that, you know, you're making, it doesn't matter. Logic goes out the window. They don't want to be logical.
That's good.
It's an emotional thing.
Hey, by the way, your phone is really crackly.
I'm sorry. My headset just went, it died before because I had it on earlier. And
you know what's funny? Because I remember you told me in the past you used to be in tech support and you got the worst connections all the time.
Yeah, I guess.
That's so funny. It's like the shoemaker's children always run around barefoot. But there's a, there's a video that I created way back in, where's the date on this thing? I'm looking at my fakeologist.com blog and I can't even see the date on this damn thing. Oh, anyway, it's where is it here? March 20. Anyway, it's in the past. I don't have a date on it. Anyway. There is a post called The Information Gap, and I actually did a YouTube on this. Let's see what I said. Good evening, YouTube Nation. It's me, Aberrato. I have a website called fakeologist.com. 2013 I did this, August 24th, 2013. I've been peddling this crap for 5 years now. Oh, my goodness. But this was something on the information gap.
Expose media fakery, one psyop.
Only 245 views. Wow.
At a time, you'll see from this headline banner here, we've got three.
I'm actually coming through clearer 4 years ago than I am now. Or am I?
What I think are fake events or hoaxes with regards to the nuclear psyop, I believe. That there's a problem with nuclear and the power and the weapons, as we are told. But the subject of this video today is my post on fakeologist.com called The Information Gap. Now, I got this idea, this concept, from a fellow internet personality called Marcus Allen. And I will play a bit of his video called Who Can You Trust, which is linked on my website. And I'd like you to just watch this section of it, and then I'll explain my graph up here.
If you're listening to my voice right now, you've obviously fled the cave, and you're looking for answers.
I'm playing this video, Videra, because this sounds like what you're talking about. I hope you don't mind. I'll play a bit of it.
Oh, I enjoy Marcus Allen listening to his speeches there.
Like someone's at your door, either that or you're cleaning out your salt shaker.
Out of desperation. Usually they hit rock bottom, either financially or they encounter a traumatic experience in their life. They begin to shed their decades worth of indoctrination and slowly seek out answers. The speed and direction of their path is almost always determined by what's known as the information gap. This is the acceptable window of information that hooks a person to find out more. If this gap is too big, people flee, literally. They can't handle the truth as it exceeds their information gap comfort zone. If the information gap is too small, there's little in the way of curiosity, and most merely live to die without questioning things. Comfort is the number one enemy of any truth seeker. If going through life is too cozy, then the information gap is too small, and there's no curiosity to find out more. That means anything considered even slightly confrontational is too big a hurdle to accept. This also means the biggest enemy to those seeking truth is social proof. In simple speak, this is money.
Okay. I'm not sure if he goes on any more about the information gap, but that's why I wanted to create a graphic for people to visualize what he's talking about, and I wanted to expound upon it a bit. So I have a graphic here, and graphics are often more useful than text because sometimes you can just get an easy picture of what's happening. So here are most people over here, sheeples, which are mostly controlled by the television, which I call the weapon of mass deception.
I'm back up.
And over here is the
I'm just playing a bit of the
things
video
that,
here.
The reality, the real what's going on story over here.
I won't play it all. It's another 6 minutes. So I put a link to it in today's show notes. This is Fakeologist 162, reviewing Fakeologist.com. And I should probably just put down O'Hallahan and Vidair are my special guests on this special rebroadcast or livening up of the old live broadcast. We're trying to do them Sunday nights now. I've carved out a couple hours. And, of course, they had a 20-minute bomb out earlier, so I'm going to try and probably go till 9:20 or so. Can you stay a little longer, Dan?
Yeah, I got about 20 minutes.
Oh, perfect.
It's Monday morning. It's Monday morning in Korea, and I gotta jump in the shower soon, but I gotta like another 20, 25 minutes. So,
how about you, Vidair, or just Vidair? How much time you got?
Yeah, I can stay for a few minutes here.
Oh, perfect. I see Tommy Dalper just logged in Skype. Maybe he wants to join in and say hi to you. He probably misses you. We had a nice little community at one point. It got kind of quiet after I had to stop broadcasting every night for every Saturday for a while. But yeah, maybe Tommy will join in. Okay, we'll go another 20 and just discuss things a little bit. But yeah, that information gap, I got that from Marcus. And Marcus obviously knows a lot about what we talk about and was doing it for quite some time. And I made a graphic just for fun to illustrate his point. So if you want to go look at that, check the show notes. Or just do a Google search or a search at fakeologist.com for information gap. And that's all the way from March 2013. How far? That's 4 years ago, guys. Have we made any progress in 4 years?
No, I've been listening to you ever since you started. Did you did your brother start and you took over from your brother?
Well,
or was it always you?
No, Aberrato's Aberrato's my brother.
He's morphed into someone crazy, right?
No, my brother is not interested in this, and he's actually almost hostile about it. I'll be honest with you.
It was always you. I've been listening to you for so many years.
Had to be you. Yeah, it was just me.
Yeah. So, I guess I got about 20 minutes left. You want to talk about
Fukushima?
Something that I was watching. Yeah. Something. Fukushima's over and done.
Let me just find the words.
Why do I do just as you say? Why must I just give you your way? Why do I sigh? Why don't I try to forget? It must have been that something lovers call fate.
Okay, that's enough, Frank. Yeah, sorry, I thought I could get right to the chorus, but I don't know where it is. It had to be you. So Fukushima's dead in Korea?
No, it's a dead issue with me.
Oh, dead with you. Are you okay
with it now?
It scared the
crap out of me. Yeah, I mean, early on, it scared the crap out of me. I was a big Jeff Rintz listener for a while, and when that happened, I was like, oh my god, you know. And then I had people like you and a couple of guys from Mammy's were like, this is fake, and then they turned me on to the video of a gentleman, I can't remember, he was a PhD in nuclear physics. He used to drink radioactive water at seminars just to show everybody that this stuff is harmless.
Well, how do you know it was radioactive water? But yeah, Galen Windsor, he was probably another controlled opposition. Yeah. Okay, but you're okay with it now then? Fukushima.
Well, I mean, there's nothing I can do about it. You know, I mean, if I'm gonna be burned to a cinder by nuclear radiation, there's not a goddamn thing I can do about it. So,
do you believe in nuclear science still after all these years? After all my lessons?
No, actually, you were one of the ones that stopped me. You know, my position is always I don't really know. You know, like like I said before, I have a degree in psychology, and you know, I mean, that was back in the 90s when they were using the DSM-4. You know, everything that I studied is now obsoleted, so I don't know anything really. When you get to the science of nuclear physics, I mean, you're like way out of my league. And so to be frightened of something that I don't even understand is completely ridiculous. And I'm almost certain that Jeff Rintz doesn't understand it. I don't know. But anyway, what I wanted to mention really quick was it's a Russian Vids put out an excellent, excellent video. I've been following Russian Vids for quite a while. And he put out this David and Nelson Rockefeller and Satanic New World Order. It goes on for about an hour.
Yeah, I'm almost through it myself. Yeah. It's a huge compilation. And he's even picked up on the transgender stuff, which is new for him, isn't it?
I don't know if it's new.
I don't remember.
I guess I've been listening to him steady for about 6 months. I've heard him mention it on and off, but that dude has amazing powers of observation. There's a few people out there that I follow that have
you can't that handle really the have, truth.
I know. No, yeah, calm down.
Yeah, that really have outstanding powers of observation. I mean, if you go to YouTube and you type in Rosette Delacroix, Rosette Delacroix has these breakdowns of movies and television, and I do that too. I do that with my university students, and I cannot do it anywhere near as well as she does. I mean, she has observations that just wow, you know. But this particular one with Russian Vids, his latest one, all of them are great.
You don't think he's disinfo because one blog was saying or one video was saying he was disinfo. I watched the video, and there was nothing to convince me he was disinfo. I mean, he could be wrong in a lot of stuff, but
yeah,
he does spend his all day and night doing the stuff. That's one thing that always tips me, makes me curious. What about you?
I don't know. I mean, I take what people say at face value, and I attempt to see if it makes sense to me. And I mean, I'm a reasonable guy, you know. I mean, if it makes sense,
I agree with you. Yeah, you've got your own brain, right? You don't get too persuaded by who's telling you. You just take it and try and parse it.
Yeah, Russian Vids, to me, he makes an oceans of sense. I mean, how many times these concepts that were given in mass media come up to 33 in their calculation?
It's insane,
stunning.
Well, it's funny because I was going to bring that up on fakeologist.com. I'm looking at buying a new van. My vans are getting so old that they're being held together by rubber bands and glue. But there's a new van that's half electricity. It's a hybrid that my government, my local provincial government has put tons of money into. I don't know if Korea as a country puts tons of money into Hyundai, but that's another sore point because your cars come over here really cheap and you don't build them over here. But anyway, Ontario has put giving $15,000 on a $50,000 vehicle for you to buy it. And when I looked at the numerology, it's got 9/11 and 33 all over it, just like you're saying. It's crazy. It goes 33 miles on a charge. Come on. There's no
33
way.
33 miles on a charge.
Yes. I mean, come on, guys. Yeah. I mean,
and with the extended battery, it goes 911 miles.
That's right. It goes 911 kilometers. I shit you not. And they always, don't forget, America's imperial still and Canada's metric. So I look at both websites. So they always make the numbers work, either miles or kilometers, right? It's just off the charts. Come on, guys. You guys are out of this world. It's crazy.
Dude, it's funny.
So you're totally right.
Thank you, Russian Vids, for that level of observation. You know, thank God he's out there. I wish I could tell him. You know, I wish I could. I every once in a while I comment on his videos and I tell him how great I think he is. I don't know. I hope he's comforted by that.
Well, I like him too. He's on my regular rotation of things that I listen to, and I like him. I think he's raw. People accuse him of being or Jungle Surfer in particular says he's not coming clean on 9/11, but
you. can't handle the truth.
Okay, Jack, I know. But I just... He now says, Russian Vids now says that he's pretty sure nobody died on 9/11, at least not nearly as many or not the people were told. So he's pretty damn close to our way of thinking.
Yeah, he played 9/11 clues. He was, I don't remember which one of Simon Shack's friends came up with this observation where the plane, as it tilts into the building, part of the wing disappears behind the backdrop, and he was playing that over and over again in that particular video.
I think Marcus might have brought that up in a video. And
I think that was Marcus Allen that had a video on that.
And he got a million views on that,
Yeah, notice how Alex Jones doesn't talk about that ever.
I don't notice anything Alex Jones has to say because I don't. I only listen to him when someone brings a clip up, but no, I can't listen to that. He's still screaming after all these years. How does that guy have a voice, Vidar? I'll let you in now.
Who, Alex Jones?
Yeah, all that shouting.
I think he just has a rotating fan club. You know, they get to the point where they love the guy, and he tells them what they want to hear, and then he starts craziness, and they think, I don't want to be associated with the crazy guy. I don't want to be associated with Alex Jones, and then everybody drops him like a hot potato after that. So, yeah, I don't think he...
Well, I brought Alex Jones up to a few people, and I got crap for that for most people. Yeah, definitely.
He's just like that person that nobody wants to be associated with anymore.
Well, it's not funny. It's by design.
Right.
Oh, he's the entry, you know, like he's the first guy that's, you know, out there to wake people up.
But he's the first gate. He catches people and then makes them think they're crazy, and then they drop him, and then they go back to the herd.
Yeah. Yeah, so I don't know. The rabbit hole goes a lot deeper than Alex Jones, but you got to start somewhere. So.
Yeah, it's funny how, because I feel like I've gone way beyond, and sometimes, like I think I took Kay and Odell, when we sat down and we discovered a lot more that a lot of people can't even wrap their minds around, and it probably goes beyond that. So, yeah, there's a lot of layers to this.
Yeah. Adair, what's your take on EGI, Elite Gender Inversion?
I think it's a conservative issue, and it's just like the flat earth. They know that you're wired to stop and be distracted by it.
Yeah.
And I think that it has all the same markings as the flat earth thing, and it's put out there by them.
You think it's
really
deceitful?
Cares? Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I think that you've picked up that hat, put it on, and I think a lot of people have walked away from you thinking you're crazy. So
yeah, well, I'm sure.
You know that, and that's the thing that I have got to the point where I'll wait for the craziness to drop, because you know eventually people find their. Because I had that one well aware, what's his name, Ed Cherini.
Yeah.
That, and I realized how powerful video was, and hypnosis, and how the different techniques they use, and I wore the crazy hat for a while. So, you know, for people in our little world, I have a little bit more patience than others, and I'll wait for you to shake the crazy and come back to the little herd on the island. Have you dropped the flat earth thing? I haven't followed lately.
Well, I've just pushed it down my list of priorities. I obviously we're not getting anywhere with it, and we weren't probably ever intended
but that,
to.
That's the way it's meant to be.
Yeah, no, I agree. And because we can't know, unless we organize and send a spaceship up high enough to look at what we're sitting on, nothing really is going to happen. So it's a perfect thing to talk about ad infinitum.
Yep.
Well, space something.
Yep.
Well, a ladder, an elevator. We know planes can fly, right? I've been on one. They go up.
See the patchwork of all the sewed together images to create that Google Earth, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. I'm a flat earther. I'm totally on board with that. But
what
you're
does
right.
it do for you? What does it do for you? It makes you not see what's really going on that flat or round earth.
Yeah, I mean, that's but just
what
it.
What does it do for you, whether it's flat or it's round or whatever? It just distracts you and keeps you from looking at all the things that are going on that flat or round earth.
Well, it doesn't distract me until I have to talk to someone about it, and you're absolutely right. It just goes into a useless conversation, and you know, most people don't even care. They just even like I get them beyond the goofiness, like, oh my God, you're a flat earther, you know.
But when Obama had the first time I'd ever heard of flat earth was out of the mouth of Obama.
Oh, you must have heard about it before.
How much more of a psyop would that be? They don't mention Ab or the fakeologists on anywhere on television.
Well, they mentioned me on Sirius Simulated Satellite Radio.
Okay. Yeah, they have
in
10
some
listeners. Rather
porn,
than
yeah, 10 listeners, right? They probably have fewer listeners than you do, Ab.
Oh, I know. Yeah, I don't have any listeners because I don't broadcast most of the time, but yeah, maybe you're right.
And then that guy that talked to us right after, he was just too slick and he never answered anything. And, you know, I was like, wow, how do they keep us so... But they see there's so many moving parts and that because we're so used to finding all the lies that they've been lying to us, this is perfect that they pin an even crazier hat on you because most people can't even get past the the satellite space travel thing. So how can there be a flat Earth? Because they've been out in space taking pictures of all of us forever, right? As far as they know. So this was the flat Earth thing, I think, was just one big crazy hat. And
so there's nothing to it. You don't think there's any. Well, first of all, do you ever watch the people on YouTube that say they're transgendering? Just the regular people? Do any of those?
That's where I can't get on that same plane that you're on. Where what does it matter whether I remember way back when Michelle Obama was a man. Who cares whether Obama married a man? Who cares? What does it matter? There are people amongst us that have gender issues that can't deal with who they are or whatever. Like what does that matter in the scheme of things? How does that? We know that they're already lying to us in the media. So what does it matter if they are lying about their sex?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, there are times where I disagree with that, but as you're saying it, yeah, I'm kind of nodding my head like, yeah.
I think it does matter, and
but does it matter? Does it cross my mind that Bruce Jenner is doing this all for Hollywood? Yeah. What the heck?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but in essence, what you're saying is that it's nonsense.
People have issues and they lie. Yeah. Why does this even matter to us?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I agree.
Everything is for the children, though. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. No, my personal issues
are afraid of something? Don't you know I used to know this little boy that lived across the street. He was gay, and he was the only one that didn't know he was.
Okay.
So it's like people, I know in my heart of hearts that people grow up with these issues. They don't choose to be like this. Because it's a hard road to walk if they choose to be.
Well, I understand.
When you think of how we all want to be part of the herd and we all want to be accepted. So I look at people and I see that they deal with a lot of issues. So it's like, why would this matter to us as a whole? I just don't get that part. And, I haven't followed any of the stuff that you've covered on it, but I just think to myself, what a huge distraction. Like, Hollywood wouldn't lie to us. Hollywood wouldn't put an actor or an actress in front of us. Like, maybe Michelle Obama or Barack Obama, if that's his real name, is they aren't actors. Like, well, okay, maybe they are, but I'm pretty sure they are. He's a pitch man for them. He sells whatever, or he sold whatever. But, I mean, why should this be a surprise, and why should we be distracted by it?
When I first got on to Michelle Obama is a guy. You got to let me finish my thought.
Okay,
When I first got on to that, I was kind of outraged. I mean, I don't mind if the guy next door has that, or the girl next door has that issue. But when you got a person who's running around saying, I'm the first lady,
yes,
you know,
yes,
that, that is what's, yeah, that's what's irritating me. But you know what, yep. As time went on, you know, my opinion is actually more, it's closer to yours. Like they have a whole game going, you know, and they call it whatever. They call it the United States government. They call it the New World Order, whatever their stupid game is that they're calling the great work. And it's their game, you know. And if we lend it our power by observing their game and pointing out how ridiculous their game is, we give it our power. And I agree with you that it is completely absurd. You know, my personal issues are spirituality. There's a reason that we're here, and there is a reason that we're going through this experience. And they
want us
to
be disconnected, and that's what they do. They make us fearful. Because they're, you know, I went to my son's one of his performances this weekend, and we were all sitting in the room, and I could feel the energy. It was all these parents watching their kids with love. And I could feel it. I was thinking, why am I getting tears in my eyes? Why is this really affecting me? And I think the more you disconnect from the fear, the more you feel connected with everyone else. So I don't know what it is, but I know that they spend an awful lot of money to make us fearful and make us disconnect from each other and not trust each other. And that's what blows my mind. That's where I think, why do they spend all this money? Why do they do this? And I feel like we are like birds with our wings clipped. We don't know the power of our connectedness. And I think that they do, and they invest in us being fearful and afraid. Because when we're fearful and afraid, we don't think logically, and we don't connect with others.
Yeah, and we make bad decisions too, yeah.
Do, yeah.
I'm thinking about something that Russian Vid said in that last video, and that this is Satan's world. I'm not religious. I was raised Roman Catholic, but I abandoned that. You know, as soon as I got out of catechism when I was a little kid, I've never been religious. I've never read the Bible. I've been getting into Clint Richardson, who details the Bible. You know, who goes through it very thoroughly and is attempting to tell us that the message from the Bible is not religious; it's spiritual, and listening to him is very interesting. Although I have no personal knowledge of it, so I'm listening to Russian Vid say that this is Satan's world, and you look at the word Satan, and Satan is the adversary, and it does seem like this world that we're in, simulation or not, and I've argued that we're living in a simulation a couple times, that it is adversarial. You know, it's adversarial to our nature. It's adversarial to what is real. And I don't know. But, you know, beyond that, I try not to anthropomorphize these gods and goddesses, you know, I don't know. When you listen to – that's one critique I have of Rosette Delacroix, is that she seems to anthropomorphize Lucifer. You know, like Lucifer is an actual dude, you know, like the Walking Man and it's the Stephen King's novels, you know. And, you know, and I don't know. I mean, it might be. It might be. I've got a friend who saw Lizard Man, you know, and this
I
dude
think
is
–
nonsense.
Yeah, this dude is a straight thinker. He's you know, and he was invited to Bohemian Grove, and
hey Dan,
he got up early.
Can I interrupt? Yeah. I'm just on Discord now. How do I add you as a friend? It says enter a Discord tag number. Do you have a number?
Yeah, I do.
And do I have a number?
You do. It's in the bottom left-hand corner. I got about 3 minutes before I got to jet out of here.
All right. I'm just
and wait,
me.
Let me boot the program.
I can hardly see the number. Oh, it looks like I'm 888-4.
Dude, you are really into wrecking your own show. We just got on a roll, and all of a sudden
you were
wrecking
it with that lizard people. I don't like lizards and reptiles.
I think that's another. That's right up there with Michelle Obama's a man.
Well, no, I don't think it's quite up there, but I think it could be a little. Okay,
but
I'm triple.
Guys, talking on fakeologists.
Like, I know, but this is like important because fakeologists might transition to Discord. about Discord. We might transition to Discord thanks to Dan from Korea.
God, we're discussing everything from flat Earth to black goo, and all of a sudden you stop at lizard
people. No, please, no goo. You did that last time. You gooed up the show.
No, I think Dan, you and I could talk forever because it's like I love psychology and I love
this is the goo line
whole study of social engineering and
well, I do too, but not when it includes black goo. Dare you with your goo goo.
I typed out my ID
that.
In Discord. Yeah.
Well, you're an early number. Is it okay for me to give out my number? Is anything going to happen?
I would just send me a message, and you and I will be connected. And then,
no, but if I want people to connect with me on the great listenership, how the heck if I don't give it out?
Oh well, it's a different story.
Yeah, anyone who wants to connect to me.
What you want to do is you want to set up a server, and you just hit that plus sign, and you just set up, the Fakeologist server. It's free.
I did.
And
we'll give it a try. I'm 8884 for what it matters. Now I can't even find it.
At the bottom left, it'll have your name, and it'll have a pound sign, and it'll have a 4-digit number. Go ahead and just type it to me. And I'll add you as
enter a username or a wumpus, so I have to put the pound. Let's see. No, I got to put the zero in front. God's sakes. Okay. Anything else, Vadir, that's interesting you these days?
Okay. I can't think of anything that hasn't been on my mind for a few years now. I think... I always wonder that maybe we're on the beginning of what they had planned, because I always feel that I was manipulated to find my way to where we're at. So, and more people are sort of waking up to maybe only at the Alex Jones level. Oh, and also we've got that fake president that talks about the fake media, like he's not a part of it. But
the reality television show host, you mean?
Yeah, so
guys, I'm so sorry. I don't mean to interrupt. I my wife is trying to get me to get in the shower. Ab, if you send me a friend request at any time, and
I did. It said you hired a samurai to slay all friend requests. You'll have to ask them to add you. That's what it says.
I don't
here.
Have any. See, I'm looking at pending, and I'm getting nothing.
Oh, there you go. Well, maybe Vidair can try Discord as well. We'll all try it out.
Sure. What did you say yours was?
I'm a fakeologist at 8884.
Let's see. I am a F A K E O L O G I S T at or pound
number.
Sign.
Yeah, pound sign 8884.
Why don't you just make his user ID is DJSJBH.
It is?
Yeah.
Where do you find that? Well, you are in tech support.
I'll just
give you this one.
How will you give it to me? Okay, well, Dan, you got to get in the shower. Go get clean. Say hi to your beautiful wife there.
The reason that it might not be going through is because you may not have activated the account yet.
Oh, okay.
Be the problem. But keep sending me. I don't have time to toy with
it. Oh, you're right. Verify. Right, I just, there you go. There we go. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, that's not my user ID in Discord.
Oh, in Discord, I'm sorry.
Yeah, we're talking about Discord. It's a separate chat program. But Vidir, if you want to add me as a friend, you can. And I got to jet. I'm sorry.
Okay. Run. All the best.
Yep, guys, take care. Bye-bye.
Take care. There goes O'Hallahan from North or South Korea. He's not in North Korea. No one wants to go there. And there he goes. Nice to chat with Dan. And we got.
You wonder what they're really doing up in North Korea, right?
Probably not much.
Yeah, because that guy is so much of a clown up there that I don't know.
It's just a distraction. It's just a distraction, and it keeps the South Koreans off their game, and they divide all these places out to keep them fighting, and they'd be much more dangerous if they were unified.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Somebody just sent me a video. Oh,
this is a follow-up video to the one I made about Pink being a transgender, of course, born a male. Just take a look at those abs, clear as day. These are not the abs of a female. Let me take a look at the belly button. I'm going to get into the photos of him supposedly being...
Well, as I said to Humble and Fred Vidair, when they asked me why, they always ask why. And that's basically because I like to know when I'm being deceived. And that's what I told him at the end. I just like to know. So if these people are trans... or these people are somewhere in between, I just like to know that I'm being deceived. I think that's important. I think when our young women look up to these models that say they're female, but they're really males, and they have a body type that cannot be...
What if they're born, you know, everything about them is female, and yet they've got a male body part under their skirt, and they're working on having the doctor fix that? That really bothers you?
Well, if they are being abused in the sense that they're not born as anomalous or androgynous, but they're being engineered to be, that bothers me. Doesn't it bother you?
I don't know what the difference would be. You know, it's their business.
If it's children, it's not. Listen, if children want to achieve adulthood at 18, then they can make changes because they're adults and they can do whatever they want, but not small children. There's different inversion points. If they're inverting before puberty, I think that's child abuse.
I had a friend who had the cortisol thing. I don't know what the term is when they're born, and they don't quite know what the male parts are. They thought it was a male, but it was actually a female baby. But they know by the, what is it, the YY and the...
The chromosomes, yeah.
Yeah, so it's like, what's the big deal?
Well... I think it is a big deal if... I'm not even sure about chromosomes, to be honest with you.
You think that they're engineering people to be something they're not?
Yes, I do.
I think that they've done that for hundreds of years for all the gay people and all of the people that are living with gender issues.
Yeah. Well,
so it's... Just balancing
out. You think you're assigned a gender at birth, and then therefore you can reassign yourself? Because that's sort of some of the talk and discussion
media. I think that they were assigned a gender that doesn't quite match their body.
Mm-hmm.
So there's something about the brain that the brain wants to. Watching a big hairy ogre kind of man want to be a woman because something in his brain tells him he is a woman.
Mm-hmm.
Like what a story to live through. You know, I feel sad for someone that is living in that world where they can't be who their brain tells them they are.
Mm-hmm. Well, so I guess I just don't buy into it the same way maybe you do, so.
Because they know that, and you have a conservative brain, and there's something in your conservative brain that says everything should have order. And the reason why I can't understand it is because I have a liberal brain, which probably has a little bit more in the conflict resolution area in my brain. But your brain is telling, and they know this. They know this, and they know that they can distract you with this, and that's huge for them. It's the flat earth thing. All over again. And I think it's just, I can see from the outside that it's a waste of your time, but whatever you have to work through and your issues, then I guess you'll have to do that. I had to stop off the Ed Cherini insanity, so I guess this is one of your stop offs. So.
Yes. Oh, it is. Well, who knows how long it'll last.
Maybe it's just a temporary stop off. You're absolutely right. I don't know.
I hope you're, you know, Ab, I hope your friends have the patience, because I think that you're a great guy.
Thank you.
And I'm waiting for you to come out of that rabbit hole.
So you think I'm lost down a rabbit hole right now?
Yeah, I think it's taken far too much of your time.
Yeah, you're probably right. Well, I guess the more I discuss it and flesh it out with people, the better off I'll be. I don't think there's any harm in talking about it from an honest point of view.
I don't either. I just think that it just pins this crazy sticker on your chest there saying, okay, he's like Alex Jones. I don't want to hang out with that anymore. You know, and that's what it's designed to do. So, I don't know.
But you'll still hang out with me, won't you?
Hey, I'm a very patient person. I'm waiting for you to come out of it. So.
All right. Well, you know.
You know, I'm sure that people think that I'm a little crazy here and there. So, and I would hope that they have the patience for me.
Well, we're patient here. We waited 2 years for you to come back. And here you are.
It's been a good 2 years, you know.
Well, that's good.
It's all good.
Well,
but
good.
I used to always wonder where everybody went after they left here, because they would we wouldn't hear from them for a while. But I think what happens is that you learn and you grow, and then you move on. And then you learn and you grow and you move on. And, you know, we all get busy doing different things, and we're lucky enough to capture that time with each other. But I have learned an awful lot since since that first time I talked to you. So.
Well, I appreciate that. So we did achieve something.
Oh, yeah. I think the whole thing is I still look at a lot of you like we're like family, and that there aren't a whole lot of us. And I know I'm not crazy.
No.
I know that you're not crazy. Sometimes I think that you're a little lost, but I don't think you're crazy. And I know that they have their ways of manipulating us along the way, you know, in our path to find what's real. And it's something that they know how we work. Maybe we're the test cases for something down the road. I don't know. Or maybe we, you know, they know that we're a safe place, because nobody wants to be where we're at. They're not comfortable being where we're at.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's another thing. You know, I still talk to Matt all the time.
Who's that again?
For a walk. The guy I work with.
Oh, you mean the guy that called in? Tal Shire, or whatever his pseudonym was?
Yeah, we still talk, and it's like he'll want to, you know, think people are just so stupid. Why don't they understand this? And it's like they, you know, you just have to have patience. And maybe it's not for us. Do we really want those people to be where we're at? You know, I think a lot of people couldn't take all the things that I've gone through to get to this point. We're like those, we're almost like the transgenders, where we live in this world where we know it's different than what it is. But yet people think that we're the crazy ones, but we can see it. You know, just like they have this world in their minds where they know what's right in their mind and their brain and how they see things, and we look upon them like they're crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay. Well, I think I'm going to wrap her up now.
Okay.
I wanted to go through the blog a bit, and I haven't really got a chance to, but I'd rather talk to you and Dan. That's great. So I have a lot of posts that people should check out at fakeologist.com, and of course, I've got my crazy stuff over at egi.fakeologist.com. There's a lot of stuff there. There's a lot of stuff to look at. Whether people consider it a deep rabbit hole, I don't know, but it's pretty interesting, I think. And I'm the eyes are the number one way to see people, to sense people, rather. And I guess the eyes can be fooled. And I...
Oh, yeah.
And I just want to know what I'm looking at. And if I'm looking at something that's out of this world or engineered and it's meant to make me uncomfortable, then I just want to know what it is. And if it is switching people's sexual assignments, as they call it, I'd like to know that too. Because a lot of the children that look up to all these so-called heroes, people don't worship their parents the way they should, are looking at these people and wondering as well, why am I different? So that's why I think it's important. I just don't think it's completely crazy to try and deconstruct. I really don't. But perhaps you'll agree at a later time. I don't know. Maybe I've put in too much time. Maybe you haven't put in enough time. I don't know. Maybe there's a medium, a midpoint.
I think in the scheme of things, you know, the way I look at, say, someone like Michelle Obama,
mm-hmm.
I think that she's an actor put before us.
Yes, I agree with that.
You know? So why would it be so much of a stretch whether she's a man or a woman? Because she's an actor. Have you not seen an actor play a man or an actor play a woman that's not?
Yeah, but we acknowledge who they are. We acknowledge they're actors and playing a role. When Tom Hanks and that other guy created that stupid show where they were playing women in an all-woman's building.
But, Ab, we don't acknowledge publicly or socially that the president and his wife are actors.
No, because that's not acknowledged by them. They want us to believe that's real. So until they come out and tell us exactly what role they're playing, then it's a type of deception.
I don't lose myself in what body parts are under the clothing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I wanted a female perspective on it because there aren't too many females speaking about this at all. And I wanted I'm glad that you chimed in on it.
Yeah.
It may just not be as important to women as it is to men. I don't know.
I think it's a conservative brain, male conservative brain, okay, that is affected by it.
Well, I have one of those.
Yeah. So I think that's what it is. And I think that they know that.
There's enough male conservatives to worry about?
Mm-hmm.
All right. We'll play out with this fantastic theme song. You remember this one?
Before My Time.
The Newlywed Game with Chuck Barris Productions presiding. Chuck Barris died, so... We'll play out with this, and I'll bid you a very good night, and join me next week if you want. I'll try and be here every week.
It was great talking with you again, Ab.
Fantastic.
You have a good one.
Fantastic talking to you.
Thanks.
All right, bye-bye.
Good night.
Good night. All right, there goes Vidair. We're going to close out tonight's broadcast on Fakeologist Radio, fakeologist.com. We're going to come back next Sunday, probably, and discuss the week's events, and hopefully we'll be here regularly enough so we can have some regular calls. So check us out at fakeologist.com, egi.fakeologist.com, and don't worry about the news because most of it is fabricated. And I bid you all a very, very good night.